cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, this is sounding very good.
You are indeed, Gareth. That's very nice.
Fantastic. Is the signal nice and clear? I need to check this every time.
Yeah, testing one. Phew, even I sound better in my own ears today.
Hello, Ben.
Hey, Gareth.
Hello, Mubs.
Hello.
Wait, there's another person in here. Yes, Sia?
Good morning.
Hello, everybody. Oh, Sia, you've joined us this morning. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, he looks all windswept and dashing. Comes in here. Michael's here as well.
I don't know if that's a compliment, but I'll say thank you.
Well, see, punctuality.
Is everybody actually doing their work there while I'm here? Because I'm doing a lot of work, and I'm coming back with plenty of ideas. So I'm just warning everybody.
With peace and love.
Peace and love.
Yeah. Gareth, that's what we do every day here.
Yeah.
Good.
I think you have the wrong idea about us when you're away. I think you suspect that we have turned this office into a strip club, and that every day people are taking their clothes off and stuffing banknotes in their panties and underpants.
You don't have to bring your home life to work.
I'm just reassuring you that's not what's happening.
Hey, I've got a bone to pick with Flex, though. Oi, Flex.
Yeah?
Uh-oh.
What happened with Rabbi Goldman? He says he didn't get the email about when he was on, and he was going to tell the whole congregation, and now you're getting me into shit with a rabbi. What's wrong with you?
Oh.
I am 99.9%. I sent an email and a SMS to him. So
I'm talking. I'm your boss. Send me an email. I want to see proof of that.
Okay, I'll have a look for it.
Like, have an angry rabbi.
But what I did was I did send him now a podcast link that he can share because our podcasts are live.
I already did that. I was there before you.
Mm. Well, I just did it to reiterate.
Well, have a look because I jumped the gun. I'm doing your job and mine, and I'm not even in the country.
I'm still doing my job from South Africa.
Uh-huh. Your job is not 99.9%. It's 100.
Gareth,
you're not producing a Mickey Mouse show here, Flex. You're on the most important show in South Africa.
Oh, wow.
I put in 110% effort 110% of the time.
I'm just pointing out that right now, this morning, there was an issue, and I just want to know why.
Well, I'll look into it, but as I said, I'm about 99.9% sure I sent everyone a message when I made a roster.
Because if it turns out that you didn't do what you told me you'd do, you know what I'm going to do to you?
Yeah.
I'm going to put my bally in charge of you.
And I have whips and chains, and I crack them.
Oh,
oh gosh.
She'll be the most vicious boss you've ever had.
Mm-hmm. My bally's on her second sexual innuendo for like in the morning today.
Problems?
You're keeping a score because you feel you're falling behind, yeah? So,
all right,
Gareth,
tell me what's happening, everybody. Well, what am I missing out on?
Yesterday on with Anthea, she said that you need to bring back a 10-bagger. Do you have any idea what that is?
No.
Basically, you've got to find the next big thing to invest in stock-wise. So it's got a 10-baggers, like a 10 return. So, you know, put down 10, get back an extra like 100.
Yeah, because you remember yesterday you were telling us that Twitter was launched at South by Southwest. I mean, that's when people first heard about it. So Anthea says that you need to bring back one of those ideas that are launching now, and then we can invest in it, and then we'll get 10 times worth the returns. So,
wow.
Yes.
So what we're saying is,
no pressure, huh?
So what we're saying is, if you're at a talk and you have nothing to ask, just say, do you think this is going to be a 10-bagger to whoever's talking? It's either going to make someone really smart or really bad, but hey, you know what? You're somewhere different. Roll the dice on that one. See how it goes.
Sure. Well, I tell you what I have seen today was the most mind-bending day that I've had in a long time. And you know, when you're around really smart people and when you're being fed really amazing ideas all day, it's incredible. Instead of your brain getting tired, it starts working extra hard so it can, first of all, keep up. And then you start figuring out very quickly what's important and what isn't, and you prioritize and kind of go through a whole lot of ideas at the same time. It's all very exciting. I spent today, I went to one of these lectures on a, there's this scientist called Ted Berger. Ted Berger is, in, he's busy developing the means for us to improve our memory with a chip, a microchip.
Oh, I need five of those.
Now, can you imagine the application for something like this? So, let me give you the gist of it. He and his team are the only people in the world doing this at the moment. What they do is they put two electrodes into the hippocampus of your brain, which is the part of your brain in the middle that translates short-term memories into long-term memories.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's figured out what the brain does to code those short-term memories, how it takes them and codes them and turns them into long-term memories. And he's done experiments on rats and on primates and on humans to figure out what that code is. Turns out that the neurons in your hippocampus fire off these pulses, electric pulses, down the fibers of the nerves, and they have a time sequence. So it's like boom, 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 boom. And that means something. Whatever it means, we're not sure what that is yet. But you can replicate that coding and get that memory stored. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. This means that you could effectively, and they've already done this, put a chip in there that basically does that boom, 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 boom thing and allows for better memory retention and for an improvement of bad memory.
Ooh, now yeah, this like could mean excite, or actually, let me not say this could, because I'm by no means qualified in any way whatsoever, but could this mean potential new exciting innovations for patients with Alzheimer's who essentially over time lose their memory completely?
Absolutely. You're on the money. I mean, it could be for those of us who function very well, and those of us who don't in terms of memory, because both could be improved. So people who might have, you know, early onset dementia, for example, could end up with being able to remember more. Eventually, it could even lead to, you know, the implant of chips that allow you to learn languages overnight, that kind of thing. Can you imagine how incredible that would be?
Sure.
Yeah, that was the one thing I took out of The Matrix, apart from guns, noise, and Keanu Reeves, was that you could, like, download karate in an hour.
Mm.
You know how cool that would be? Like, you've really got beef with someone, and you just download.
I'll see you in 1 hour and 20 minutes once this stops buffering.
Yeah, I'll download Muay Thai quickly, and then you're done.
So you could download one skill, like, immediately. What would it be? I want to hear what Sia and Flex would do first.
I don't know. For me, it's languages. Hey, being able to speak to all these animals who are attacking everyone. Like, say, listen, Mr. Elephant Man. Like, you don't have to like lift that taxi and roll it over.
So not languages with humans, languages with animals.
Yeah.
So you want
to
become Mowgli essentially? You just want to download Mowgli.
Yes, I want to get the Mowgli app.
Okay. All right, Flex. What would you want?
I want it. Not just martial arts, but extreme martial arts. That one where you don't even need a gun to win a gunfight.
Wow.
You basically
cool.
become
like
invincible.
Well, you don't need a gun
to win
a gunfight.
You know, essentially, if you could retain and improve on your memory, couldn't you become like that guy in the concept of the movie Limitless? Where you're able to learn things at a quick rate and you're able to remember them forever and ever, in which case your knowledge base just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding and
exactly.
you know everything, absolutely everything.
Well, you know what? This is what's so interesting is if that happened, how would you measure whether someone was smart or not? Because usually we measure smartness by your ability to retain and memorize information. I mean, it's obvious now that there's more to it than that. So you have to be able to where it counts, that kind of thing. But imagine if it never, if it was never ever again a challenge to find the information. In other words, anything you needed to know would be there before you'd even have to Google it.
Wow.
It sounds kind of dangerous because you need strong and weak in the world for there to be balance, right? If everyone's a genius, It's like if everyone was good looking, I reckon this world would not be a good place. I know that sounds strange.
Well, I beg to differ. But everyone is good looking.
You've always got to have the yin and the yang kind of thing. I think that's just how we're meant to survive. So when everyone's kind of in the fast lane, there'll be their own different problems.
But if everyone is a super genius in the world, solutions to problems are found quicker. Doesn't that equate to a better world?
Ah, but you can't eliminate ego, though. So if you could eliminate ego with all this, then it would work. But the thing is, we're all geniuses, right? I'm more of a genius than you, because that's human nature.
Yeah. But Gareth...
Well, this is it.
The idea of this chip isn't going to make us use more of our brain, right? Like, we aren't using a bigger percentage of our brain. It's just a chip implanted in us.
No, well, this would be in order to do this very specific task of translating short-term memory into long-term memory. That's what they've done the experiments on. Obviously, it could apply to all parts of the brain eventually, including, you know, enabling you to correct problems with hearing, for example, when they're a brain problem, or even eyesight, or even the ability to comprehend sound or language, or the ability to make connections between things. The ability to retain, information, the ability to make your neurons fire faster if you had a motor problem, like you had some paralyzation or something that blocked the neural messages from getting through to the muscles.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's just one of the lectures I went to today. I mean, this is the most awesome place, Texas. Did I tell you what the slogan was that I heard?
Well, you told us about
the Texas.
Texan first, America second.
Well, I've heard an even better one since then.
Okay.
They go, I wasn't born in Texas, but I got here as fast as I could.
They are really proud of themselves.
Perhaps they have these car dealerships alongside the highway with the biggest American flags you've ever seen in your life. I mean, even rolled up, this thing would be longer than three people. Amazing.
In terms of where the state is situated, would you say that they're more of a Trump state or more of a Hillary state?
They're going to be a Trump state.
Yeah.
It's definitely... Okay, it basically borders on four states and Mexico. So it's the southernmost state of the United States, with the exception perhaps of Florida, on the opposite side of the Gulf. There's a lot of oil. It's got the other states around it are New Mexico up to the northwest, Oklahoma, Arkansas,
and goodness.
Louisiana. So I suppose that answers your question, right?
Yes, it does.
Sorry, Gareth, I was going to interrupt. Michael, there seems to be a problem. We're getting messages about the app not going so well.
I'll have a look.
Just have a look at the messages that come through.
I'll bring tech support.
Yeah. And Giovanna says you're acting like an arrogant Texan, Gareth, so you've obviously been there for too long.
Oh, right. Okay. Thanks very much for that.
Cool. So what other lectures did you go to along with that then?
Sure. Today we did – I saw the Game of Thrones Hall of Faces that they have here, because HBO are doing a special thing. You know, it's amazing. You know who spoke today was J.J. Abrams, the Star Wars director.
All right.
I couldn't get in because the queue was unbelievable. It must have been a kilometer long through the convention center. People lining up to see J.J. Abrams speak.
Wow.
Yeah. But apparently he was very, very good. And, you know, a lot of the stuff will obviously be available on the net as we go forward. But sure. There were quite a lot of really big talks. I'm trying to kind of save some of it for when I get back. But the really interesting stuff that we get to do here is it's the people you meet and have conversations with. And, you know, I went and saw, for example, the drones, DJI, who are the guys who make those Phantom drones.
Yeah,
they had a stall here, a big sort of area, and they've got this Phantom 4 drone now, which is an unbelievable piece of technology. This thing, you can actually press a button and it will follow you. In other words, it goes up into the sky, and if you're going on a run or you're on a mountain bike or you're bungee jumping, this thing will follow you and film you automatically. And even if it goes up a kilometer away, it'll come home to you and it'll avoid obstacles by using ultrasound. Isn't that amazing?
It's just actually ridiculous how clever these things are. You know that they also stop and don't go into flight paths? They just know where they are?
Right.
No, you see, my brain just goes onto overdrive, and I think about the stalkers who will now be even happier, and you'll be able to... No, you guys, I'm not ready.
See, nobody wants to see you in a towel. No one's going to put anything a kilometer in the air to see you in a towel. It'll be all right.
I was watching a program once where they attached guns to drones and used them for sort of military warfare, but then... the cocaine dealers hacked into the drones and then sort of used them against the military to stop them from stopping their cocaine from moving across. So that there's potential for that.
Oh, hell yeah. There's lots that... You know, this is the interesting thing about the next couple of years is that the digital economy is going to grow, and with it will grow the digital crime economy. Mm. And we're in for some really exciting times.
Exciting times in crime.
Cybercrime.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But tell me what's going on in South Africa. I don't want it to become an update, you know, Gareth's diary every day. What's actually happening back home?
Well, Gareth, it's winter. It's winter. Basically, it's like the Game of Thrones when we're all looking to kind of get to a certain point. That point is now. You know when you wake up in the middle of the night and your cat's using you like a furnace? It's pretty much the seasons have changed.
Even your cat that, you know, doesn't need any humans.
No, not so. It's basically rain nonstop.
This morning was extra dark. Hey?
Yeah, it was extra dark, extra cold. So yeah, you're gonna come back to a different season completely. That's about it.
Really?
Yeah.
We're officially getting into winter.
It's like raining every day.
Damn, it doesn't sound good at all.
No, it's all right. It's quite nice.
Maybe I'll stay in Texas.
Oh, you know what? The Sunday Times did a big sort of expose article this past Sunday, Gareth, about how the Gupta family was influencing the appointment of cabinet ministers. So now the ANC have gone on the defensive, saying that they're taking the newspaper to the press ombudsman because seemingly they're going around spreading rumors and just salacious content. So it seems like there's going to be a big fight between the ANC and the newspaper, because the newspaper is saying, oh, well, you know, this Gupta family, clearly their claws are in deeper than we ever thought. They're now influencing the appointment of ministers. So, you know, just on that front, that's what's been happening over the weekend.
Well, see, Mabs, the thing is, they definitely influence Fikile Mbalula's employment. The thing is, no one cares about him. But now, obviously, this minister that people actually care about, they go, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And then I see the Minister of Finance, Pravin Gordhan, has now been roped into the situation where he was asked some other question where he said, I don't know anything about the Guptas being involved in appointing ministers. I don't know anything about that.
It's difficult to stay popular in the eyes of the neutral when you are kind of embroiled in a Gupta question.
As soon as you get asked a Gupta question, you just break out in sweat.
No, seriously, like right now, Wade van Niekerk, right? Like Gareth, that Wade van Niekerk, our star athlete, he became the first man in history to go under the 10 seconds in the 100, 20 in the 200, 44 in the 400. Like, he's a hero right now, right? If they asked him a Gupta question, everyone would be like, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe he's doping. Like, it's just so bad. Anyone that gets right into this. But what a story I did find quite funny this morning, I'll bring it up with Anthea in her feature, is that SAA are actually on the verge of maybe turning a profit in 2017/18. Sounds like someone's getting very creative here, or there's book cooking.
Well, and then also remember, as of the 1st of April, the prices that we're going to be paying to fly are also going up by between 5 and 10%.
Yeah, so I think what someone's done here is they've gone, oh my gosh, we're going to get 10% more. Let's just, okay, cool, there we go, profit.
Boom, yeah, let's just do a bit of maths and put it in the books.
Yeah, they're not actually working out that those 10% increases are because of extra fuel levies and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, there's some brazen article that's come out saying that they're expecting a potential 177 million rand profit.
Okay.
These guys couldn't get a profit if they were getting bankrolled. Well, they are getting bankrolled. Sorry. I'll stop that sentence right there.
Wow. Okay, well, listen, it doesn't sound like you're having a boring time.
No.
For all intents and purposes, it sounds as crazy as ever back home.
Pretty much, Gareth. Yeah, pretty much. We're just trying to hold the fort while you're away. But it looks like Kim Jong-un, he also wants to wipe out New York, but this time he seems like quite serious.
Uh-oh. Gareth, don't go anywhere near New York between now and when you come back. He's got his eyes set on New York.
You know what's happened here?
Sorry to be the one to tell you this, but I'm actually flying back via New York. So.
Gareth, you know what's happened here? He's basically taken a liter of single malt. He's watched that movie, The Watchmen, or something else,
yes.
And he's now telling everyone that after threatening US and South Korea last week, he now says he's got a special hydrogen bomb just for Manhattan.
Oh, okay. All right. Fantastic.
So after all the cocaine ran out and the Russian strippers did too, he was like, okay, a hydrogen bomb. He went to his scientists in his underwear and said, I want a hydrogen bomb.
God damn. This guy, he's out of control. I don't know if you've seen, I've been posting quite a lot on Instagram and Twitter, but I put up a couple of pictures of this. There's this government, a non-government organization here in America that believes in freedom of speech that are asking people to donate old USBs. And then they're sending these USBs filled with content to North Korea. They're going to airdrop them in, or they're going to smuggle them in across the border. Uh-huh. And they'll have TV series and movies and YouTube clips and all kinds of exciting stuff on so that the North Koreans can see there's a world outside North Korea.
Wow.
What a lovely idea. But they're not going to work in the VHS machines, though, Gareth. I don't think they've got USB
ports.
That's
what I was worrying about. But if you look at the pictures, they've got these pictures of Kim Jong-un, and then you stick the USB in his mouth.
Oh, brilliant.
Which is pretty cool. So take a look at that if you can.
That's absolutely golden. And have you got time to watch new sports while you're over there?
I have, actually. There's been quite a lot of basketball on TV. I haven't seen any live sport.
This is one of the big reasons why I want to go there, because we think we know what sport is here, but over there it's like a whole different thing. I'm not just talking about, you know, something to stimulate them while they shove more buffalo wings in their face. It's such a big business there. It's like a different level. It's like a level we'll never be able to get to.
Well, they do everything in sport to keep it entertaining, and it's a whole show. So even if you don't care about the game itself, there's something to watch.
Exactly.
So it's incredible. I'm speaking of things to watch and things to do. When I get back home, I've told you already, I think I'm morbidly obese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to do some serious exercise and get myself tidied up, because I looked in the mirror again this evening before I called you, and I just thought, oh my God, oh, it's so horrible.
It's going to be kind of...
I look like I've completely let myself go.
It will be kind of awkward when you get back, and none of us will say anything because we don't want to be mean. But by the fact that we're not going to say anything, you just know that we are thinking.
Well, look, I assume you're going to point it out. That's why I'm just getting it out there anyway.
Yeah, you're right. I will point it out the moment I see you.
Well, such a wonderful person. Ben will, Gareth.
Yeah, well, you know that.
So wow. Have you done a majority of your present shopping now, or are you going to wait till right at the end?
No, I've got to do it mostly tomorrow, because I've done some. Did I tell you that Randall Abrams ordered like a whole bunch of CDs and DVDs and had them delivered to my hotel, and I've got to schlep them back for him?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Well, at least
that guy.
At least he didn't, because you know how some people are. They will ask you to physically go and to such and such a place and go and get me this. At least he had them delivered to you.
Well, if that makes it better.
Yeah.
He's just I'm basically like a mule from Quatqua that's carrying things across the hills for him.
Yep, they're the best kind, Gareth.
You must open them up, Gareth, so they're not laced with anything potentially dangerous.
Mm.
I mean, look, I know you and Randall go way back, but you can never retrust someone.
No, that's true. By the way, the politics here is, you know, everybody, I'm asking everyone I meet whether you're supporting Trump, or whether you're supporting Hillary, or whether you're supporting Bernie, and it's incredible. I saw a friend of mine who's a big Trump supporter, and I've been talking to a bunch of other people who are huge Bernie supporters. Then there's some Hillary supporters. Then there are one or two who even support Ted Cruz, because this is his home state. But the best thing of all is that they're all calling each other liars. So Hillary goes on TV and says Trump is the biggest liar ever because he's always supported her. And then Trump goes on and says, well, Hillary's got a lot of secrets she's trying to hide. And then you have Bernie Sanders, who's, you know, he hasn't lied to anyone yet, but people are accusing him now of sending his people to Trump rallies to upset people, to cause violence, which is bizarre, because I mean, if there's any guy who could tell doesn't want violence. It's Bernie Sanders. I mean, did your grandfather ever say to you, there, go over there and cause shit? You know?
But this is the beauty of watching this as a neutral, right? Because it starts to escalate. So now it's all about who says what. Now it's about lies. And then it comes down to the fact that he once had sex with an underage Mexican girl while being in like El Salvador.
Everything's being revealed.
You know, you find all this dirt will just come out of nowhere. Like Bernie, something about, there'll be a dead child in Bernie's basement by October.
Shame.
Just before the election.
Yeah, no, yes. You wait for it. October, they'll be ripping up the floorboards and there'll be like a skeleton.
Oh, boy.
It'll probably be a dog, but...
Here's a thing about Bernie Sanders you might not know. In 1963, on the same march that Martin Luther King Jr. did the I Have a Dream speech, do you know that Bernie Sanders was marching with him?
Okay, I did not know that.
See, but this is
wasn't Bernie in his 60s back in the that's 1960s?
That's the beauty of being 135.
Yes, is you've seen so much more compared to everyone else. Oh, okay, so he was involved in that march.
Isn't that interesting? I thought that was fantastic. Apparently, he was a big supporter. He knew Martin Luther King. And he had joined the Million Man March in 1963. And you can actually see him in some of the pictures.
Okay, because I was going to say, can it be verified? Otherwise, Donald's going to call him a liar.
Yeah. And has he and his PR team, you know, really worked that in, especially when they're speaking to the blacks, you know, to try and get them to vote for him?
Isn't it nice that he hasn't?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's so great.
Yeah, because... That's an ace up his sleeve, essentially, for, you know.
I think it should count in his favor in a huge way. It shows you the kind of guy he is. By the way, I see that Mark Bland, who, of course, does our show on a Thursday from here in America, he says if you'd known I was in Texas, you'd have come down and met me. But I told you I met Liron Segev yesterday on the streets. Mm-hmm. I saw the guys from Goldfish. I bumped into some South Africans today again in the convention center. So there are lots of cool people hanging around.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, so time now is what, 11 o'clock, 11:30 your side?
It is 11:30, yeah.
Okay, so you're about to have a cup of cocoa and get into bed?
Well, no, I'm happy to hang around. Tell me what's happening in sport, Ben.
Okay, we just got to play a couple of things, Gareth. But if you want to hang on, you can be part of sport because there's lots of football drama. There's match fixing stuff in SAFA.
I'm only offering to do it because I know my belly falls asleep during your sport.
She does.
Poor woman can't do it four more days in a row.
Yesterday we actually had to revive her with smelling salts. It was so awkward because like Sia wasn't here, Michael was busy, she was asleep. I'm trying to get Anthea. It was a mess. Eventually she woke up and she just said no more anchovy. Couldn't work out what she was saying, and then eventually, I can't wait for you to get back.
Yeah, it's rough here. It's rough.
And I also want to know what's happening with Leslie Sidibe, because I see lots of news about him going on.
Oh, that's suspicious. Yeah.
Well, we'll bring it up. Like, I don't want to get too much into it, because nobody actually... Because he was, like, SAFA CEO or president or whatever it was for, like, no time at all. He was in there, he found a way to make money, and then he left. And now he's like, who's this Leslie guy?
They banned him. I mean, they've banned him for 5 years, so there's lots to talk about there. All right, let's let you get on with the sport. That's coming up next.
Johannesburg guy meets British girl.
Hi, I'm John.
Sarah.
British girl returns to Britain.
Mind the gap.
Johannesburg guy misses British girl. Johannesburg guy decides to go get British girl.
Mind the gap.
John!
Will you marry me, Sarah?
Yes.
Life doesn't come to you, so go to it. Virgin Atlantic. Tickets on sale now on virginatlantic.com or contact your travel agent.
Now excuse me if I sound rude, but I love the way that you move, and I've seen you all the
way. Are you laughing at Sia?
Someday.
Oh, the power intro. Yeah, Gareth, Sierra's sitting here on his iPad. I don't know who he's texting, but then I make one little mistake on the mixer, and he's all, oh.
Well,
yeah.
That was a horrible song, so yeah.
Okay. Tough crowd, anyway. Yeah, so let's get into that software thing, right? So there was a long time ago, around sort of 2011, 2012, where I think it was... Like, I don't know if this was the precursor to all the things, but basically Puma was the kit sponsor for the Bafana Bafana team, right? Suddenly they pulled out. Now, they pulled out before, again, I stand to be corrected on these details, but they pulled out before their contract was up, and match fixing was the key word there. So with all things in sport, everyone's like, match fixing, okay, cool, who's going to come out and be like the villain here? We didn't really hear anything. There was nothing really there, and it kind of got swept away. I think another sponsor came on board, and before we knew it, it was business as usual. Bafana were disappointing the masses by not really getting into any tournaments or going very far in them, and life moved on. Well, now there's actually bans coming in. So according to the actual FIFA website, Leslie Sidibe, Lindile Kika, Steve Goddard, and Adil Kadelser are all banned. These names have come out. The FIFA Ethics Committee, which is FIFA's most busy and constructive organ.
Yeah, sure. All the credibility in the world that they have, ethics committee.
Just think, FIFA's staff is about 35, of which 32 are in the ethics committee. I mean, these guys are working round the clock. So what I really want to know, Gareth, and I'm sure you've got some points in this too, is that if there is match fixing, okay, now it was alleged in the international friendlies leading up to the FIFA World Cup in 2010, if there was, then how is it that no players are being implicated in this? It's not like Leslie was on the field. I mean, sure, he was orchestrating a hell of a lot, like all good soccer administrators do. But someone had to play badly. Something had to happen. Someone must have been gulambodied.
Well, that's it. And also, it just seems to me like they're going after the lowest hanging fruit here. I mean, why not bust the really bad people who were right at the top?
Exactly.
No, why not go after the guys? Like, you know, we always hear these big names bandied about in football in South Africa. We know who really controls things. Don't think Leslie Sidibe was suddenly making decisions all on his own.
Well, it's the first thing I thought. It's like you're finding guys who you've actually got to remember who they were for something that was very much like everyone was involved in. Again, it's like Danny O'Don, and I'm not saying he's involved here. I'm not speculating that much. But the thing is that he was this massive hero, right? And they gave him all kinds of money, and it was like, Danny, you're a savior. But then it's come back, like, there was the whole Jerome Falk incident, Sepp Blatter thing. Suddenly Danny Jordan doesn't go to Switzerland in fear of getting arrested, and he says that there was a budget issue. I mean, come on. Like, a politician's ever going to say, oh, no, sorry, I can't fly because we haven't got money. These guys lap up business class at every stage. So where is he in all this? You know, not so much as a comment, not so much as a murmur.
Well, look, there's so many dodgy people in football because it seems to me that it's also a place that a lot of really bad people just put their money to launder it, you know?
Yeah, well, there's that side of it as well. So, I mean, I'd like to see this some more stones being unturned here because I agree with you. I don't believe these are the sort of major players. These are the easy sort of low-hanging fruit which you can bust. And then when people say, okay, so what happened with that? It's like, okay, we addressed it. These people are now banned. But banning him for 5 years, banning Leslie for 5 years in football, is that going to change anything? I mean, does that mean his corporate five-a-side team's going to be without a left back? I mean, who cares if this guy's banned from football?
Yeah.
Like what does he actually do nowadays?
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. He's involved with Proudly SA, which surely he can't lead Proudly South Africa if he's been fired from FIFA. I mean, being banned by FIFA, that's the worst thing. That's like a character assassination.
Well, you know, that always makes me laugh after these things, okay? When you get sort of put into these things and banned, it's like it's the Sepp Blatter defense. I will fight to clear my name. I will not rest until my name is cleared. These guys love it, hey? It's almost like they're all in the same PR company and they just get forwarded the same template. Okay, Leslie.
Absolutely.
Leslie, bad boy, but this is what you're going to say now. You're going to say you're going to clear your name and that you're innocent and that you want to work with authorities because that's another key thing. You always have to be seen as being cooperative. That's a key factor. Into some other sporting news, though, Gareth. We've got a lot of football to get through this morning. It seems the FA Cup draw has been done. So Arsenal will be extra pissed off this morning, because if they had beaten Watford, like everyone was hoping and expecting them to do, they would have played Crystal Palace in the semi-final, which would have been a much easier road. Although, West Ham versus Man United, that still has to be played. The winner of that will take on Everton. Both of those matches will be taking place in the weekend, the 23rd and 24th of April at Wembley. Gareth, I found some absolute polar clips, which I played yesterday on the Bounce Show. More irate Arsenal fans. It's gold. It really is. Like, I tell people I'm an Arsenal fan purely because I love the fans. The team's nowhere right now. But these guys, it's just new levels of cool. In the actual English Premier League last night, unlike Arsenal, Leicester just keep kicking on. They won 1-0 over Newcastle. That was Rafael Benitez's debut at Newcastle. That's Steve McClaren. He was given the flick, really. Just too many bad results. Too much relegation threat here. So Benitez signed a three-year deal. And his first match was out against Leicester. Leicester 1-0, which now means they've got that five-point cushion at the top. So 63 points, Spurs on 58. Arsenal kind of, well, I think they're out of it now. They're completely out of it. Basically, Leicester need 20 points from the remaining 8 matches, and they are the title champions. They are the champions of England, which nobody ever would have predicted. And a couple of weeks ago, I told you that story about the guy who put £50 in them winning. And the dude would have said he would have made about $1 million or something. It was like 1,000-1 bet. So, okay, he would have made £500,000. And he actually cashed out early because the bookies gave him cash out options. So that, you know, there's no guarantee, because, you know, in case they stumble, he gets zero. They basically offered him and he took a lower amount. He just wanted to pay off his mortgage. Anyway, I reckon.
Well, you can't stop people from going after the money.
Yeah, I just would have stayed for the big check, though, because they just need 20 points from 8 matches, and as much as Spurs are looking good, I can't see them losing it from here. Champions League, that kicks off again this week, Tuesday and Wednesday fixtures here. So Wolfsburg, PSG, Benfica and Real Madrid are all through to the quarterfinals. Now we see who joins them. So tonight we've got Man City versus Dynamo Kiev. Man City, they've got nothing left to play for this season. They really are just doing so badly now. They're looking to transition their coaches, and the players don't see whether they're coming or going, really. But they've got a 3-1 aggregate sort of lead right now after the first leg, so they look to be a shoe-in for the quarterfinals. Another match tonight is Atletico versus PSV. That's all these games are at 9:45 SA time. The game there is much, much closer. It's 0-0 in aggregate, but Atletico, pretty much the favorites to get through there. And then tomorrow we've got Bayern Munich versus Juventus. That's going to be a key clash, 2-2 the aggregate there. And then Barcelona versus Arsenal. Barcelona versus Barcelona. Arsenal have no chance. They're 2-0 down going to Barcelona.
I was just going to say, they're going to get their asses kicked.
Well, completely. Although, it's like, their season's so screwed. There's no way they'll win. But it'd be so funny if they can somehow beat Barcelona. I think their fans would actually explode. The internet quality there. But big pressure on Steve Campella in the local leagues here. Now, Chiefs are not doing so well. Third successive defeats in all competitions. They're looking very shaky in the CAF Champions League. They were beaten by Pirates in the Nedbank Cup recently. They lost in the finals of the Telkom Knockout Cup and the MTN8. And they really have no chance in the league. They're even worse off than Arsenal are in the PSL here. So there's big pressure on the coach. He was getting booed over the weekend. So it's, you know, like, everything is just drama intensified in this whole football thing. Like, you look at other sports and you go, okay, well done, they were better, they were worse. But in football, there's just so much personal hatred and, like, so much at stake that these people are bound to have heart attacks. I want to see the stats of people involved in football, heart attacks and early premature death compared to other sports. I reckon that they top it, no doubt. And I'm not talking about refs being shot in Argentina either. So today, Gareth sees the start.
It's so hard to be in football, and I'm not even talking about the players.
Exactly. It really is. Every single person is just, you really have. I think if the aliens come and take away some of the hardest people in the world, find football managers and other people. Thicker skin guaranteed. So today sees the start of the Super 10 section of the World T20. So the group, well, the original stage was just all the associate nations, the teams with no money, and the ICC don't like them. They were battling out for two spots, one spot in each group. Bangladesh and Afghanistan, they made it through. So Afghanistan goes into Group A, which is South Africa's group. And then Bangladesh go into Group B, which is the same group as Australia, India, New Zealand, Pakistan. So today's the first match, India versus New Zealand. The cool thing is about these games is that they start around either 4 o'clock or 11:30. Today's game is 4 o'clock, so knock off work a little bit early. It's going to be a very, very exciting tournament. India, of course, are the outright favourites. I wouldn't say overwhelming just yet because it's T20, so everyone's got a bit of a dig there. Wednesday sees Pakistan versus Bangladesh at 11:30, England versus West Indies at 4. Thursday, Afghanistan take on Sri Lanka, and I think Afghanistan could be the surprise package here because everybody wants to see one of these minnows slash associate teams, whatever they get called. Everyone wants to see them kind of come through. So Afghanistan, my money on, maybe even beat Sri Lanka. Australia and New Zealand on Friday, 11:30. England versus SA. That's SA's first game at 4 o'clock on Friday. Saturday, India versus Pakistan at 4. And then Sunday, the big one, Afghanistan versus South Africa, 11:30. I'm saying it's the big one because we're going to be doing live alternate commentary right here at Cliff Central.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Me, Simeon Ref is coming in. He's bringing his asthma pump. He's so excited. and then my friend Langdon Batt as well. He did it with me for the World Cup last year.
Right.
That is going to be huge, exciting. And then Sri Lanka versus West Indies, that's at 4 o'clock on Sunday. So that's your first week of the World T20. Even if you don't like T20 cricket, I've got to say, it's going to be very, very exciting. So get involved. It's going to be great. Finally, just before we get to Anthea, there was some Varsity Cup. Now, we all know that Varsity Cup has been marred by all this violence on campuses and all these student protests. So much so, they now have to play in front of nobody. So the whole thing about the Varsity Cup was that every Monday night, you and your mates can get absolutely shit-faced hammered, watch a bit of rugby, shout and scream, and you're on your campus. So it's a bit of a draw. But that's kind of in the past now. So yesterday at the FNB Stadium, which is the biggest stadium in all of South Africa, 90,000 capacity, and these students are running out in front of just orange seats, basically, and playing
matches. Shame, that's horrible. But I'm surprised they've even kept it going, because with all that nonsense that started the year off, I actually thought they were going to can it completely.
Well, there's so many different sort of factors involved, Gareth. And, well, you know, rugby itself, it needs this tournament. I mentioned a few weeks ago that this is one of the greatest breeding grounds for the next generation of rugby and the all-important transformation question. And there's no doubt about it that you'll see more non-white talent coming through this tournament than anything else, and it has to be the natural feeder system. So it's in the country's, sporting country's best interest here to kind of make this thing work and make it work quickly, because if this thing loses a season, who knows what talent is going to be lost. And we can't afford that right now. Anyway, so results last night from an empty stadium. Marty's thrashed UCT, 60 points to 13. Tux, they also thrashed UJ, 43-8. NMMU, that's the Madivas, they went down heavily as well, 18-46 to Pukka. But in a Free State derby, there was finally a close game, and the Shimlers beat CUT 10-9. Hopefully that tournament can get back to what it was, because it's a really big part of sports in this country. So, Gareth, now we have Anthea. Michael, are we going to do that really clever thing where we do two people on Skype? Oh, hang on. Yeah?
We're going to try. Hopefully, Anthea, can you hear me?
I can't, Lex.
Oh, it's working again. Yeah.
Gareth, are you still there?
Anthea Gardner, I've missed you for the last couple of days.
Yeah. Yes, morning, Gareth, and I'm very jealous of you at South by Southwest.
I heard you want me to bring a 10-bagger home.
Yes, the next big idea. What are we going to invest in next? I'm looking for the next.
I have so many ideas for you. I'll tell you. Okay. As soon as I'm back and we're in the same room, I'll spill the beans.
Gareth, can I just pause you there? Because Peter, one of our listeners, sent in Anthea's new song. So let's just play that, and then you two can get your chin wagging back on.
All right, that's money.
Look, there's some flaws to the song, but still, the intent is beautiful.
You definitely get the idea.
No, I still prefer your actual song.
Every day, guys, we're having different suggestions. Michael's been playing songs. Sia's been playing songs. We haven't had a new winner yet, so I've got to be honest. But thanks, Peter.
We're getting close, though.
Now, Anthea, I've been checking out the stock market while I've been in America, and I've been sort of watching what's happening with what shares where. Hasn't been too bad, right? The last few days have been okay.
No, we've had quite a nice little run. Again, yesterday the market was up. It's very quiet, though. Yesterday, only $1.3 billion traded. But you've been seeing kind of, we've had results presentations, and the results haven't all been terrible as we were expected. So yeah, we've had quite a nice run.
Good.
And then yesterday, one of the shares we were invested in, Advitec, that was up 2.3%. They released results. Market pleased about it, I should say. I think the only question with them is probably that there's not enough organic growth. So revenue grew 40% to 2.7 billion rand, which is quite nice.
Wow.
And it was Roy Douglas, who's the CEO. It was his first results presentation since he took over. And he took over from Leslie Marsdorp. Now, Leslie Marsdorp might ring a bell because he's the guy who went from South Africa to the BRICS Bank, the New Development Bank. He's the VP there.
Yes.
And he, in fact, was commenting last week that, yes, Nhlanhla Shanene had been put forward for a job at the BRICS Bank, but he will be considered like everyone else who's applying. So no special treatment for our former finance minister. Yeah. And then I see the rand's blowing out, Gareth. So 15.54 to the dollar this morning. So be careful of that spending you're doing over there.
Oh, well, there's no stopping that. I mean, unfortunately, once you're already in, you know, you're just going to keep on going.
Anthea, he's about to buy us really great gifts. Don't tell him that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, okay. You should have shut up while there's still time. Now nobody's getting anything.
I spent the whole morning buttering him up, and then you just killed me with your rand blowout.
Oh, sorry. Gareth, is there lots of talk of the fourth industrial revolution, and are you bumping into private equity and venture capital investors while you're there or not?
There are so many venture capital guys running around. You can tell them from everybody else because there are super geeks, you know, the ones who just dress like they've just crawled out of the basement.
Yep.
There are much more civilized and sophisticated geeks, the ones who've made billions. And then there are the venture capitalists who are the only people wearing jackets and chinos or jeans and jackets and collared shirts.
And asking questions about revenue generation models and expansion, correct, and break even and cash flows.
That's it. Those are the guys.
Oh, dear.
And so product easy. Development and innovation and that kind of thing. You know, those are the dudes.
Yeah. I need to get there next year, I think. It sounds very exciting.
Hmm.
You know what I haven't told you guys about is something called robo-advisors, which recently hit South Africa. It's kind of a millennial issue, if you like. So what it is, basically, it's an online financial advisory algorithmic-based investment product. So you go online and you tell them what you're saving for, how much you earn, what your timeline is, and it spits out products that you should be invested in, which is quite interesting. I mean, I think millennials really like this sort of thing because they don't have to interact with human beings. They can do it on their computer. It doesn't tell you which shares to buy and sell. It really just says you should be in equities or fixed income or whatever,
okay,
property. Yeah, so that's quite an interesting. There's one in South Africa recently rolled out called Bizank, B-I-Z-A-N-K. That probably fits in quite nicely with our tech theme this morning.
That sounds very, very good. I heard that yesterday they're developing a kind of glass that actually has little nano coverings, a little coating of nano substance on it. It's like a substrate, and this stuff will prevent the glass from ever getting dirty. It'll prevent the glass from ever getting wet, and it'll prevent the glass from letting too much sun in if you don't want glare.
Oh, wow. So like nonstick... That. I wonder if that could be used for solar panels.
Absolutely. They're already working on that kind of thing. There are all kinds of chemicals that you can use now in very minute quantities on surfaces to do all kinds of amazing, wonderful things.
Because one of the issues with solar panels, of course, is that they collect dust. And so the sun's rays don't get in and they're not as effective as if they were perfectly clean and absorbing all the rays. So
right. Oh,
that's very exciting stuff you're encountering over there. Okay, back to the market very quickly. One more thing. Alexander Forbes was down about 4% yesterday on news that they're doing a potential BEE transaction in Africa. So, of course, the market is assuming that if they're going to do a BEE transaction, that they would have to issue shares at a discount. And so that's really it. I mean, there's not much else, you know, kind of resources were up, industrials, financials, they were all up yesterday. Oh, and our old mutual call yesterday, we said it could have been a good buying opportunity. It was. The share was up 5%. So it's now another, that's what, total of 17% since this announcement that they're breaking up.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's good. And I think that's pretty much it for the market, other than, of course, we've got MPC on Thursday. And, oh, it's also futures and options closeout on Thursday. So we should see some nice volumes go through there. You know, that happens every quarter.
All right, Anthea, I want to bring up this SAA thing with you quickly. I know this isn't probably your area of expertise, but they're saying that they might actually draw a profit in the 2017-2018 financial season. So is there any chance of this happening? Because, I mean, they're talking a big game here, right? They're saying that there's going to be a more stable aircraft lease costing, 13% rise in revenue expected, elimination of loss-making routes, cheaper oil, all that kind of stuff. So they reckon they're going to make a profit. But bear in mind, these guys have had, to date, 14.4 billion rand in government bailouts. 14.4.
Sure. How many times can you be bailed out?
I mean, and do they have to pay that back?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So now, like, wow, this is just a staggering story to think that the balls of these people that talk like this when they're so far in the woods still.
Ben, there are two things in that argument, right? They're expecting 13% growth in revenue where the economy is growing at less than 1%. I mean, that's a big ask, right?
Yeah.
It's an impossible ask. Plus, I mean, they've still got all that debt to pay off if you consider that part of the balance sheet or not. That means that even in 100 years, they probably wouldn't make a profit.
There you go. I think they're probably going to go with a bit of mathemagics on this one and say, this is how much revenue. And there's all different types of profit, right? So profit before tax, profit after debt write-downs. I'm not sure I believe that it's a net profit, basically.
Yeah.
It would be hard.
Well, mathemagics, I think there's the word for the day there. It sums up many, many things when it comes to these parastatals. All right, Gareth, so are we going to let you go? Are you going to get off to bed?
Yeah, I've got another busy day tomorrow, and then I'm flying on Wednesday, Thursday, and I'll see you back next week, Monday.
Fantastic. So we're doing the show on Monday.
Marvelous. Absolutely. Why not?
Because it's a bank holiday on Monday.
I'm going to do the show.
Oh, it's the 21st. Is it the 21st?
Ah.
What? It's Human Rights Day, isn't it? Is that it? Yeah.
So were you going to tell us about this, or were you just going to rock up?
Well, I don't mind what you, if you guys feel like it, I think you've deserved a bit of a holiday, but I'll handle things.
No, that's cool. I'll be here because I've got to do my show on Monday anyway, and then I'm taking Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off.
I'm so glad we had this negotiation.
Well, Gareth, me too.
All right, everybody.
All right, Anthea. Catch you tomorrow, Anthea.
Guys.
Cool.
Very nice, very nice. Okay. So, yeah, you just think that today's so funny. Just laugh you on the corner there.
Do you know what I love?
What's
Ben
that?
Comes in like the best employee in the world going, no, I shall be here on a public holiday. And then you spill the beans that you won't be here for the rest of the week.
See, it is key to take time off in life.
Okay.
If you sit here and you stagnate, I'm no good to no one.
Got you.
See, so actually me being considerate, you can thank me later.
Always make it seem as if you're taking a sacrifice by working on a public holiday.
Yeah, well, Sia, you're the one that waltzes in here 10 minutes later every day.
Ah.
Right, so without listening to too much of Sia's life, we've got Smubs. It's a big day of news. And we've got a Gareth interview with DJ Rob Forbes in this third hour. So much. There are some problems, apparently. We're looking at the messages. Some people are off batting to listen to us this morning. We do apologize. Michael has checked everything in the studio. Everything seems fine our side. Sometimes there are some glitches. We do apologize, but we will look into it some more. So if you are struggling, we do apologize. If all else fails, there's always the podcast. There's always so many different ways to listen to us. If you can't catch us live on WeChat, can't catch us live on the app, we will have the live feed on the website as well. So there's three factors. If you can't catch any of that by some strange, strange phenomenon, there's always the podcast. So fret not. Anyway, catch you back with some more news. CliffCentral.com.